you heard the man announce the topic, and it's in your bulletin. It is, why, Samson? Why? Why? Has your dad or your mom ever asked you those many questions? Why did you do that? How could you not be thinking? There's this man in the Bible whose name was Samson. You may know him or of him. And this question is asked of him. We're going to ask him again this morning. Why, Samson? Why? Why? Maybe you need to ask yourself. Why? Why aren't you walking in God's way? Why aren't you obeying God? Oh, you might have a smart aleck answer. But would it hold up? Would it hold up? The story of this Bible personality is very real. Samson was known to be the strongest man who ever lived. We were taught in school, Hercules. Hercules was the strongest man. He could lift the world on his back. And we were inspired when we heard such a truth and such a truism. In the Bible, this character had proven time and time again that God had given him extra strength. God would use that strength for his own purpose. But the story of Samson ends in death. Now, Samson was a child of promise. His father's name was Manoah. His mother's name is not given. There are four chapters in the Old Testament in the book of Judges that are dedicated to the life and times of this very strong man. They embody chapters 13 through 16 of the book of Judges. Judges, there was a period of time in the life of Israel when, well, it seemed to have been several times in their lives, when they did not want to obey God. Does that sound like humanity today? People don't want to even hear the name God. When you tell them about God, they say, I have my own God. I worship God in my own way. If you tell them that God has made the Sabbath day for himself, and that you're going to meet on the Sabbath day, they say, Sunday was the day Jesus Christ was resurrected. We don't need Saturday, that's for the Jews. So, this man, this child, was a child of promise. Father's name was Manoah, and his mother's name was not given. That led many people to believe that, well, women were important. So women's names are not mentioned as frequently as men are. That may be so. But you cannot think that God does not love, appreciate, and use women. He does. In God's sight, both men and women are equal. In our society, the rebound is becoming so very apparent. Yes, women have a place in God's plan. And who didn't know that? How did we get here? Outside of the creation of God, God has given women the ability and the capacity to increase his family. We all came from our mothers. No matter how big and old you get, Even Samson, mighty as he was, had a mother. So Samson was a child of promise. This was a time when Israel had judges. God had allowed them to have different leaders to judge, to guide, and to lead his people Israel. This child, Samson, became a judge during that time of Israel's history. He had several judges, and Samson was one of them. When Samson became a judge in Israel, Israel was under the dominance and domineering of the Philistines. From all understanding, as far as I can see it, the Philistines were a hard people. When Israel went up against the Philistines, they lost the battle. Hence, Israel became subservient to the Philistines. But this child of promise will play a very important part in the life of Israel and in the life of these Philistines as well. Now, we don't read anything about Samson as a young child. We don't read anything about his youth. But we know he had to have had a youth. It seems as though the activities of Samson began when he was a young man of about 19. And the story ends in the end of chapter 16 that he became a judge. And he judged Israel for 20 years. When he ended his career, he could have been about 40. But he had a wonderful time of service to God and to the children of Israel. Now, I could imagine growing up, his strength might have been easily known and well understood. I guess if he played hand wrestling with any of the guys, he always won. So his strength became apparent from early in his life. There isn't very much said about his youthful life. But as he grew up, not only was he a child of promise, but he started, as youth do begin, liking girls. Is that new? Conversely, girls liked him. So he started having a problem from early. And young people, you're going to get to a place where the opposite sex will become very admiring, admirable. Oh, look how he walks. Look where he wears his pants. In our generation, they're pretty low down. But somewhere in that growing up process, there is the attraction of the opposite sex. That's a good thing. That's how God made it. In our generation also, there is a bad thing. Not what God made. We live in a time when men seem to be attracted to men. That's a bad thing. That's not how God intended it. Because God is about procreation. God is about building a family. And two men, no matter how hard they try, cannot produce a family. Oh, we have people who have their dogs and their cats and their horses. That's not the family God had in mind. You see, God has planned, we have come to understand, that you who are obeying God, as was said in the sermonette, you who have responded to the calling of God, you will one day end up in what is known as the God family. You will become a child of God in the real sense. Today we talk about, well, I'm a child of the King. People say, I'm born again. God is my Father. And sometimes they say that, you know, and they say, well, who is your Father? Jesus said once in John 6 and 44, you are of your father, the devil. Nobody wants to hear that. He went on to say that your father was a liar from the beginning. So that when we lie, we are not acting as children of God. You then become a child of the devil. Does that mean when your child at an early age begins to lie to you, he's beginning to pick up the vibes of the devil? Most certainly. Psalm said, we go astray from the youth, from the womb. How did you feel when your child deceived you first? Little fellow, little girl, began to lie to you. He said, don't lie to me. The vibes, the vibrations, the message from the devil had begun to register in those children's minds and hearts, and they started to obey the devil. They deceived you. Did you touch that, Dora? No, Dad, I didn't touch it. What do you have behind your back? And then the child reluctantly brings the hand out, clenched. Could I see what's in your hand, Dora? Didn't I tell you don't touch those? And you start realizing that, small as that child is, somewhere along the line, not from you, he's learned to deceive. He's learned to lie. And so, Samson, at a young age, I would think about 19, which is pretty old, started being attracted to girls. I know you started younger than 19. But it started getting him in trouble. His parents told him, there's a certain kind of woman you need in your life. Not that kind. Did he listen? You'll find as the story of Samson progresses, it turned out to be his undoing. The Philistines were the dominant people. The Israelites were the subservient people. And he came to his parents one day and said, I found me a woman, and I'd like you to get her for me. What are you talking about, Dad? Oh, it's a Philistinian girl. I like her. And the parents were not happy. They could see trouble ahead. Because they could see, they said to him, and the people, the girls, the war people, as good. Why do you have to go over there? These are all people. God warns in the scriptures about church people marrying people who are not church people. Well, I can marry who I want. Did you say that some years ago? Is there any wonder that your marriage has problems? You know, for every action, is an equal and opposite reaction. When you look into your life and see, how did I get here? My parents would warn me. Anybody listens to parents these days? Everybody's grown up, I do what I want, man. Don't tell me what to do. That's the same reaction Manoah and his wife had from Samson. I marry who I want to marry. I'm not going to do what you all say. I'm grown up. Hence the subject of the sermon today. Why Samson? Why? Why? And he persisted in marrying this girl of his choice. That's a good thing, as far as he's concerned. He would find out later, as his parents asked him the same thing, why, Samson? Why? That's not the way we taught you. And he persisted. He was going to do what he wanted. He's a grown man. I do what I want. So these four chapters are dedicated to the entire life of Samson from the beginning, as we said, with the child of promise, to the end. 107 verses. All about Samson, his behavior, his demeanor, and his demise. This story ends in death. As the last story, we'd like to talk about death. The last story will end in death. It'll either be good, or it could very well be bad. God has given us this time to utilize, to make our story meaningful. Now, life went on. Stop listening to his parents. Young people, you've got to understand that your parents know best for now. Oh, but my father didn't go to college. But he's got the experience. He knows what he's talking about. Your mom, oh, she didn't go to college either. But she knows from experience what she's talking about. And Samson, as this story progresses, you will find that he found out that his parents knew best. He lived his life, did his own thing. But one of the things that you need to observe in the story of Samson is at the beginning, even though he was hostile to his parents' suggestion, he and his parents had an excellent relationship. And you and your parents ought to have a good relationship. You ought to have good interplay with your parents. They are your guide. They were here before you. They were put there to teach you, to show you, to tell you what is right and what is wrong. Society comes in on you from every angle. You will have to decide, as some of you might have already decided, am I going to listen to my mom? What does she know? Or am I going to take the pressure of society and let that be my guide? One young man said when he was a little fellow, his father was like a god to him. He knew everything. By the time I became a young man, I thought, that fool, what does he know? And in the end he said, after all, my father was a wise man. You will find that is the same you will find out as you grow. The fool you think your father is could be the fool you might become. God gave you to your father and mother for a reason. So in spite of his budding feeling that I know everything, he and his parents had a good relationship. One day in his life, he's going about his business, and a lion attacked him. And by the strength that we talked about earlier, he was able to kill the lion with his bare hands. Now you understand what I mean when I say he was the strongest man you ever lived. He killed the lion with his bare hands. No dagger, no spear, no ropes. With the strength God had given him, he was able to kill the lion with his bare hands. A point I made here in my little notes. Very unfortunate, but it's true. He killed more people than he showed kindness to. We live in an age where they tell us that some boys, maybe some girls too, have a propensity and a likeness to hurt animals. They said, these kids that go on these school shootings, they have a propensity to kick dogs, throw stones at dogs, kill cats. That is their propensity. And so it develops and it grows into abject cruelty. After the lion was killed, he was going to a party one day, and as he passed by the carcass of that lion, all of a sudden there were swarms of bees coming from that lion's carcasses. And as he drew nearer, there was honey in the carcass of the lion. And to prove it, he put his hand in the entrails of that lion, sapped up some honey. This is honey. And he went on his way, enjoying it. I said he and his family had good relations. His parents said, what are you eating, Samson? Taste it. And they found it was good. By this time, he had married this girl. One good thing about Samson in his day and age, he was not averse to marriage. Today, young people don't mind shacking up. Not Samson. Though he was untoward toward his parents' bidding, doing, and suggestions, he was not one to shack up. He wanted a wife. Not a boyfriend, but a wife. The Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Not the meaning the woman by calling her a thing, but the union, the togetherness, the appreciation one for the other is a good thing. So, he and his parents could share a handful of honey because, as I said, he had a good relationship with his parents. Young people, establish a good relationship with your parents. There are gangs out there who would take you away from your parents, and when you would not obey your dad, who, you mean that old man? Some young man with his pants below his hip tell you, go and shoot that man. Go and beat that girl up. And in your stupidity, you would go and do that, but to listen to your parents, they don't know what they're talking about. He's not bright. He's not all there. So he was a child of promise. He had a good relationship with his parents. He got married to this girl, and it didn't work out. That can happen. It depends on how much interplay you have with your parents to understand what marriage is all about. In course of time, his strength became the dominant characteristic about him. And that's why I said he killed more people than he was kind to people. And as you grow up, young people, work on your kindness. Work on your relationship with your parents. Work on your relationship with other people. As you know, most of you, I had two sons. And I had found that the young people in church weren't particularly talking to the older people. And I would send my boys at different times. Go and say hello to Mrs. Johnson. Go and say hello to Mr. Felix. Talk to Mr. Smith. They'd go over there and have to find something to say. Hello, Mr. Smith. How are you doing? And it's up to us as grown people to interact with the young people. We treat them like, well, yeah, they need a big boy now. And we give them distance, respectfully. It's also your responsibility as a young person to seek the company of older people. They were here before you. And older people don't be constant critics of the young people. They have to learn, and many times they have to learn the hard way. But we gotta abide them. We gotta work with them. Have suggestions, not domination. Give them good suggestions. Have a good word. Don't be quick to criticize. Look at that dress, it's too short. What are you doing with your hair? You know, we're so quick to criticize. We forget that God is the one who does the calling. Back to the sermonette. When God calls you, and He certainly will, that's why you're here today, to hear the voice of God, not my voice. And if you listen to the voice of God, listen to what God is saying to you, who knows how far you will reach. We come here every third Sabbath of the month and hear the young people read the scriptures. Hear them sing. See them performing. It's the only service in which we are allowed to clap. Let them be encouraged. Let them know we appreciate them going up there. Having the voice to read. The voice to sing. And using it for the glory of God. Who knows how far these young people will go for God. In a godless society, they might be the ones to stand up and be able to say, yes, God works. He's worked in my life. And I can testify to His goodness and His grace. He met several young women. And it's a good thing for young people and young men to meet several young women. Some of the ladies he met, it didn't work out well. Don't have an agenda. Every woman you meet, or every young man you meet, oh, he'd be nice to marry too. Many young people go through that. But it takes a particular planning. An understanding of the opposite sex to know what marriage is all about. You don't marry the first person you meet. You first have to know yourself. What do you want? In my advising to young people, I always say when you're looking for a girl or girl, have certain things that you expect. He must be tall. He must have brown eyes. He must be serious. He must be able to make good jokes. But he must have an agenda. What are you doing with your life? All of these things you must have in your mind when it gets down to thinking about marriage. Samson didn't have that. He was only seeing the physical. And the physical passes away. Look at me. I was handsome. I had brawny shoulders. A good voice. After a couple of years, these things begin to wean. So when you put your entire confidence in the physical, here was the time I did wear glasses. I had beautiful sight. I could see, I could read the finest print in a map. I could just turn the map around in different directions. Oh yeah, I found that street. Then I have to get a magnifying glass. Then I have to get glasses. Then I have to get bifocals. So as you age, things get less effective and not as good as they were many years ago. In his quest for a good woman, he found one whose name was Delilah. And it made all of the difference in his life. And this was going to be the biggest difference in his life. We said he killed more people than he showed kindness to. He was kind to his parents. But he killed people. Because remember, the Israelites were subservient to the Philistines. And there was always a conflict. He always wanted to find out wherein his great distinctive strength lay. What makes this man so strong? He would go to a city, and the rumor would go around, guess who is in the city? Samson. And everybody within the precinct of that city would be nervous and afraid. What will he do while he's here among us? He went to a city one day, and the word got around that Samson was in town. He said, oh, wait a minute. Let's see if we can capture him. They went out against him and with his bare hands he slew 1,000 people that day. They couldn't capture this man. He was more than they could go up against. He was like an army. As I said, then he found Delilah in a city called Sorek. She seemed to be the one. And she was the one. He loved Delilah. No doubt Delilah loved him. And the lords of the Philistines said to her, listen, when you all are intimate, close, find out wherein his great strength lies. Why, Samson? Why? Why? He did not know that this woman was going to be his undoing. Are we saying that all women are the undoing of men? Absolutely not. Women have their place in the lives of men. And men have their place in the lives of women. But men and women like to love more than one person. So you cannot love one person at a time. So many men prove that not to be the case. And this woman, Delilah, was approached by the leaders of this area, and he said, listen, you've got to find out, listen, how this man got so strong? What makes him so strong? When he comes here this evening, you better find out from him wherein his great strength lies. If you don't, we'll burn your house down. That was a threat. And sometimes, you know, young people, people come to us with the same thing. If you don't do this, we'll kill your parents. If you don't do this, we'll set your house on fire. And what do I do? You're between a rock and a hard place. And there are people who can be that cruel, that evil. had that determined. So she now had to draw the line between love and hate. And she started. When he got there that evening, she said, "Samson, honey, wherein is your great strength? What makes you so strong?" And he in his masculine prowess said, "Everybody asked that." She said, "No, honey, I'd really like to know what makes you so strong. Look at those arms. Look at your neck." And she started praising him, and in a very tactful way, trying to find out what makes my man so strong. So muscular. Look at his shoulders, Samson. And he started taking the bait. And we say to him, "My Samson, are you really going to tell her what makes you so strong?" Samson was a Nazarite. And the Nazarites were a people among Israel who were given one or two commands. No strong drink. Don't touch a dead human body. And their hair was not to be cut. They were not rastas. But there were some similarities here. No strong drink. When I came into the Church of God, I was told, "You cannot drink. No drinking." And then I met some folks who said, "No, you can drink. But drink wisely. Don't drink to get drunk." You will be surprised how many references are made in the Bible to drinking. What did the story of Shemuel tell? Jesus made water into wine. If it were not good for you, Christ would have been breaking the law of God. What did Paul say to Timothy? Drink a little wine for the stomach's sake. We're not preaching the goodness of wine or rum or scotch. No, but there's a reason. In the Old Testament, the Bible speaks of Israel having liquors. I remember when I was in the other congregation, the minister said to me one day, "Will you give a toast to Jesus Christ?" And I was like blown away. I'm saying, "Uh-oh." He wasn't kidding. He was serious. We met for a special occasion. And he asked if I would make a toast to Christ. And I had to think about it. How can I stand there and make a toast to Christ? I've been told that liquor is not good. You shouldn't drink liquor. How can I make a toast to Christ? And God gave me the words, and I was able to thank God for all the good things He's provided for us, and all the good things we look forward to in the coming kingdom of God. So this Delilah, she was a liar, this Delilah had a work cut out for her. How can I find out where in this great man's strength lies? So he had to lie himself. She said, "Samson, wherein your great strength lies? What makes you so strong and handsome? Look at that nice nose. Your fingers are so nice and long. You know the path of flattery." Somebody said, "Flattery will get you nowhere." And somebody said, "Flattery will get you everywhere." So he was hearing all of these good things about himself and his body and his brawn. He said, "Oh, if you'd get nice dry ropes and tie my hand together, I'll become as weak as any other man." Question again. Why Samson? Why? Why go there? And if we are not aware and skillful and ready, the little things that begin to get to us, you don't see it, that it can lead into a mighty pitfall. And it was doing that to Samson. Think of the first time you got into sexual trouble. You didn't see the little things leading up to it, but before you knew it, it was there. So she went out, got new ropes, tied him up, and said, Samson, the Philistines be upon you. He jumped to his feet and in a flash broke those little dry twigs. And it wasn't true. Why go there, Samson? Why not bring this charade to a quick end? And we need to ask ourselves that same question. How did I get here? How did I get to this place? You didn't see it coming. Because you were not aware. You were not thinking as you should have been thinking. And she said in a womanly way, you're making a fool of me, Samson. You're telling me one thing, and it's not that. Honey, wherein is your great strength lie? Tell me, honey. You know, young people, when you have someone or some circumstance so persistent about something so dear to you, you have got to be aware. He wasn't thinking he had found this beautiful, gorgeous woman. He was having fun. He forgot what his parents told him. They were the first to ask him, why Samson? Why that young woman from among the Philistines? And he said, I love who I love. I'm a man now. And so she asked him again. Notice the path of persistence. You have to have your thinking cap on. Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to go there? What in his convivality, his joyous jubilation, having fun with this woman whom he loved? And she comes back around again. Samson, wherein does your strength lie? What makes you so strong Christian? You've been coming here for years. Why do you do that every Sabbath you go there? You want to find out what's the secret? What could there be over there that have you so consistent and so determined, so set, and so focused? And again she asked. And he gave her, as they say, a cock and bull story, trying to evade and avoid giving her the real truth. When you find that something is so persistent about you and what you're doing, you gotta look out. It could be your demise. He said, you're still about that, Delilah? Well, I'll tell you. If you take my hair and weave it and put a pin in it, I'll become as weak as all other men. Don't, Samson, you're on slippery ground. She starts weaving his hair. Oh, honey, your hair is so soft and so long. I can get my fingers through it so easily. You have beautiful hair, Samson. And he's going along with the situation. And she goes out, gets a pin, and begins to put his hair in a, what they call, when I was a little fella, up sweep. Remember those days, ladies? She puts it here in an up sweep with a pin and says the same thing. Samson, the Philistines be upon you. And he jumps to his feet and he stretches himself. His strength was still there. Now she begins to cry. Behold, when a woman crieth. She said, "But these three times you've lied to me. You don't really love me." And he says, in that man's strong voice, "I love you, my darling, I really do." She said, "Why then are you lying to me? You didn't tell me wherein your great strength lies." By the time the tears begin falling, his heart was broken. He swallowed it, and he said to himself, "I'm going to have to tell her what makes me so strong." When you get to that stage in your situation, whatever it might be, and you realize you've got to come clean, you've got to be sure you're in communication with God and you're on solid footing. Because this man was about to make the biggest mistake of his life. Wasn't going up against the lion. Wasn't going up against 1,000 men that came at him and he vanquished them. Here he was in his little tent. This woman was pressing him as to what makes him so strong. He gulped. He swallowed. And you and I say, "Why, Samson? Why? Look out!" Do you wonder why God didn't say that, Adam and Eve? When Satan was on them, telling them what to do and how to eat the fruit. You said, where was God? Why didn't he say, "Don't you?" There are times when God stands back to see what we would do with the knowledge we have and the understanding we have acquired to see what we would do. And here we are, standing by. Samson is under stress. Samson is under pressure. And he's about to make the biggest mistake of his life. What was the biggest mistake you've made in your life so far? Don't you wish somebody could have been there to kick you under the table? Jab you with an elbow? Don't you? Do you man enough to make your decision? You did what you felt was the right thing to do. And here was Samson on the verge of taking that plunge. He had not told his parents. They knew he was a Nazarite. They knew he was not to drink strong drink. They knew that as a Nazarite vow. And he was not to touch any dead bodies. Human bodies, that is. Because remember, he'd had the encounter with the lion. And she again asked him, "Samson, you've lied to me three times. You've not told me the truth. You don't really love me. Wherein does your great strength lie?" He'd given them the story about the dry ropes. He'd given them the story about the brand new ropes. Given them the story about weaving his hair in a bun or an upsweep. Now he can lie no more because he loved Delilah. And he might have said to her, "Come close to me, my darling. Hold me around my shoulders." He was setting the scene for a different situation. "Yes, Samson, wherein does your great strength lie?" And we say, same on topic. "Why, Samson? Why? Why are you going to go there?" And then he told her the whole truth. By that time, she'd called the lords of the Philistines and said, "I think I got him. I'm about to hear something. Come on up here to my villa." which was a big tent. They were outside. He was mesmerized with the beauty, the way she smelled. Her hands were soft, as were her lips, because he was pursuing a romantic situation. She was so friendly. She was so nice. He did not know she was about to be deadly. And we ask, why, Samson? Why? Why? While she was holding him and he was holding her. He said, my strength is in my hair. My hair was never cut. I am a Nazarite. And you ask, what was the Nazarite doing in the arms of a Philistine who did not know the God of Israel? That's where he found himself. He said, if my hair were to be cut, I would become as weak as any other man. And by that time, my hand was moving faster than his hair as the hair slipped through her fingers. The Bible said that when I was a younger man, I thought of opening a barber shop. And what I was going to call it? Delilah. That was my idea. So here she was about, you might ask, where did she get scissors from? Did they have scissors in those days? But she was about to do a job on this man's head. When I was a young man, my grandmother used to cut my hair, and she had a cloth scissors, and she would go from the front to the back. And I would have rows in my head, and my friend would laugh at me in school. I said something that didn't seem to have very much of a useful life. And she got him to go to sleep. Samson, you must be tired. He'd gone all day. Why not take a nap, honey? And she began patting him on his shoulder.
Oh, my dear.
On his head. And in no time, he was, like most men, snoring. And because she had set the scene, she had called for the lords of the Philistines, and they were all around the tent. Samson was snoring. Sometimes we are snoring when we ought to be alert. Have you come to church and fallen asleep and you missed a good sermon? You missed the scripture that the guy gave? This was Samson's state. She was asleep. She called one of the men. He said, I got it. I got him. Cut his hair off. And in no time, those beautiful locks were falling to the floor in piles and in heaps. And when the man left who was doing the cutting, in a traditional way, she said, Samson, the Philistines be upon you. He jumped to his feet and said, I will go out as at other times. Christian brothers and sisters, when you play the fool, you cannot go out as at other times. Part about it is, if you don't know, you've lost your sap, your vitality, and your connection to God, you are in trouble. So was Samson. Once again we ask, why Samson? Why? Why has he jumped to his feet and stretched his arms in the traditional fashion? He was macho. He knew what he was doing. But not this time. When the Philistines came in to that little tent, his arms had fallen to his side, his eyes looked different. He was surrounded by Philistines. Nothing new, because he had killed 1,000 of them before. Here he was standing as weak as any man. They grabbed him and they took him. And the word says in chapter 16, they put his eyes out. Do you think the world loves you, brethren? They'd like to put your lamp out. They'd like to get you discombobulated. They see you pass every Sabbath going to church and they say, what makes you think? That's what you wanted to find out. And here was this tall standing man with all of his locks on the floor. And he was weak. The Philistines took him, took his eyes out, led him to the house of affliction. And there are lots of people who would like to see you afflicted. Lots of people who would like to see you out of your element. They had him grinding at the mill, grinding their corn, doing the work that an ox or ass would do. Their god Dagon, they loved their god Dagon, and they had a big meeting. The house of Dagon was full, and somebody said, why not let's call for Samson? Let him do a sport. That interprets to our day, let us make a fool of him. Brethren, there are people out there who would love to make a fool of you. They could stop you from going to church on Saturday. They love that. And they called for Samson. The Bible said, to give him the opportunity to be the plaything. All the lords of the Philistines were in that hall that day. And Samson comes out staggering, tottering. Nothing like the Samson of the first three chapters. And they began to laugh. They began to point at him. He didn't know how close he was to death. That big strong man. But the Bible says that in the course of time, his hair began to grow again. How many of you ladies would like your hair to grow again? It's not what you like it to be. It's gone. And you'd like to get it back. In the course of time, his hair began to grow again. While he was out there being sport for these people, he could hear the laughter. He could hear the jocularity. He could hear the noise. But he couldn't see a thing. And they assigned a young man to be with him, to guide him from where he was when he came through those doors. And he said to the young man, could you lead me to where the pillars are so I can lean on them? He started getting back his senses. Have you gotten back your senses yet? Look at how far you have gone. He started his hair growing back again. And his strength began to come back in torrents. And he started thinking, how did I get to this place? I can't see a thing. He said to the young man, lead me to the pillars where I can lean. The young man didn't know what was the plan of God or of Samson. And he led him and he felt the post. And he said, is there another one here? There's one here. And in no time, Samson was between the two pillars of that mighty building. Did you know they had big buildings in those times? They weren't all tents. They laughed. They heckled. They gaggled. This was not his element. But somehow he knew that God will help him. He knew that if he called on God, God would come to his rescue and help him. And while he was there, he prayed a simple prayer. Lord, my God in heaven, not the exact words, but restore my strength, Father. Let me die with my enemies. All of a sudden, the imminence of death was upon him. He could tell it. And he knew he was not among friends. Can you tell when you're not among friends? You would put people in the Sabbath, laughing at your Sabbath. You go to church on Saturday. You don't keep Christmas? You're crazy? Is that denigrating you? But if you can't feel to yourself, I'm in the wrong place. I'm not comfortable. I'm not at home here. Call upon God and said, Father God in heaven, help me. Give me strength. Help me to die with my enemies. The Bible doesn't tell us if God heard his prayer, but no doubt God did. And Samson began pushing with all of his remaining might, pushing. No doubt there was in. Look what Samson tried to do. God had heard his prayer. God had responded to his humble request, as he does yours. And in the midst of what looked like a total impossibility, as does your life, as do the circumstances in your life. I can never get out of this situation. I have no job. I have no husband. I have no wife. How can I be delivered from this awkward situation? The Bible said it's not good for man to be alone. And as he pushed and toiled, somehow there was a crackling. Somehow there was the sound of falling concrete. Yes, they had concrete in those days. And people began looking up. Some were looking down. What is that strange sound? And he continued pushing and bending and twisting. He had not seen that building because he had no eyes. But he had prayed that God would let him die with his enemies. And as he pushed and squinted and squirmed, sought his footing, people began to scream, "Look! Look!" Different parts of the building started rocking and shaking. And they realized that they were in a pickle. This is not happening. Is he trying to push this building down? That's exactly what he's trying to do. He prayed to his God for strength. He prayed to his God to let him die with his enemies. This same child of promise is about to lose his life. Nearly in the wrong place. The Bible ends up by saying in chapter 16, the latter verses, the entire building came down and he slew more people in his death than he did in his lifetime. All four chapters, the entire life of Samson, is laid out before us. When you go home, you have a quiet time. Read all the chapters of Judges chapter 13 through chapter 16. The entire life of Samson is laid out. And we go back to the topic. Why Samson? Why? Why? And somebody might say to me this morning, why would you rejoice in a story like that with so much killing? What you didn't remember is that he who gives life can take life, because he will give life again, and there is a resurrection. And all human life will come back up from the grave. Those who died without knowing Christ as their personal Lord and Savior will be given an opportunity to be taught God's way. Yes, your mother. Your cousin who died in an accident. And you thought he went straight to hell because he had a profligate mouth. He cussed. And he swore. He smoked cigarettes. He smoked drugs. And you thought, oh, he's going to end up with the devil. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the message of the Church of God is that God will resurrect people. And they'll be given a chance to understand God's way of life. Certainly, people today don't understand God's way of life. That's why this church is not filled with people. They think we're making fun. You go there on a Saturday and sit down. Brethren, you're doing the right thing. Because you're seeking to obey God. And God will reward you when he returns. Why, Samson? Why? Why? All those people who died in that arena that day, God will resurrect them again to life. They'll be taught God's way of life. What a wonderful gospel we preach. What a wonderful truth. God will give us an opportunity to work with him. Saying in the words of Isaiah, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And people will come to rejoice in God and know his way. If you continue to live the life that God calls you to live, again, reference to the sermonette, there is a calling to the understanding of God. God will give it. God is giving it to you and to me. May we accept and embrace it in the name of God.